T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Zach Gelb is sitting in for Maggie, who is off today. Zach and I have been arguing about a lot of NFL topics. Cleveland Browns. We've been arguing against producer Mike Sampter on the Jets. But I think this one is going to really get you going.
Okay. I think I may know. I follow you on Twitter.
So I tweeted.
I have not muted you yet.
I have tweeted. You're one of the few people. I tweeted that the AFC West is shaping up to be one of the most overrated divisions in the history of the NFL. Because usually we don't even talk about divisions like we are. Just all offseason has been nothing but the AFC West. I have this headline. It's the 2022 AFC West, the NFL's best division ever. And there's a million articles like that. Now, we know why. They brought in Russell Wilson. They brought in
Devontae Adams.
J.C. Jackson. Who else?
Khalil Mack.
The Chiefs didn't really bring in anybody. But
you saw Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. And Justin Herbert's on the ascent. And Denver has all these young receivers. And the Raiders have Hunter Renfrow, who we all love.
1,000-yard receiver.
He's amazing. And we all love Darren Waller. You go on and on and on. I get it. But how many times in the history of the NFL have we seen big-name free agents or big-name trades, veterans, go to teams and that team disappoint? Earlier today...
How about your Eagles?
We're talking about the 2011 Eagles. Vince Young claimed they were the dream team. They were the classic example. They brought in all these names. And the offseason, they were anointed the NFL favorite. Vince Young idiotically called them a dream team.
They went 8-8.
They went 8-8.
Real dream team.
It was an ugly 8-8.
They're still dreaming that they're going to have success.
So we know that if you win in March, that does not guarantee anything in September. But the media always forgets that. They get so excited about free agency. They get so excited about draft picks that they think are going to come in year one and make a contribution, ignoring the history that 60% of draft picks do not work out in the first round. That's the first round. It just goes down after that round. Everyone gets so hyped in the offseason about additions and moves. Now, we're going nuts about an AFC West with a Chargers team that hasn't even made the playoffs with Justin Herbert, a Raiders team who hasn't been elite in forever, a Chiefs team who lost Tyreek Hill, and who did I leave out? The Broncos, who I think a lot of people think might be the fourth best team in that division.
You think a lot of people think the Broncos are the fourth best team in that division?
I do.
Wow. I think people think it's the Raiders, right?
There's a lot of hype on the Raiders. They paid Derek Carr. They made the playoffs last year. They beat the Chargers in Week 18 to get there. There's a lot of hype. Maybe it might be our callers. By the way, you could call us at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 if you want to yell at me. Because I don't think this is all going to work out. There's four different situations here. I think you might have one or two elite teams. All four of them are not going to win 11 games. That's just math.
Well, all four of them won't make the playoffs because they're going to beat up on one another.
But I don't think it's. I'm saying even more that.
I could see three, though, teams could get into the playoffs in the AFC West. I would actually expect it.
I think it's going to be two. Right. I think people are going to be disappointed. I think there's going to be two teams. Honestly, people think that there's going to be four great teams there, and I don't think either of those two teams is going to be a favorite to go to the Super Bowl because that's Buffalo.
Let me just ask you this, and that's fine if you want to say the Super Bowl part. If I tell you these are the seven playoff teams,
okay,
are you surprised by it? Let's go AFC East winner, clearly going to be the Buffalo Bills. Let's go AFC North, Cincinnati Bengals. Then you say, hold on.
Okay.
You say the AFC South, Indianapolis right now. And let's go AFC West. Yeah, maybe this isn't Andy Reid's year. He'll still make the playoffs. Let's just go for the Chargers for fun. So then your wild card teams, I could see the Chiefs. I could see you could take the Broncos or the Raiders.
Right.
And then let's just say a team like Baltimore bounces back.
Okay. But Baltimore.
That would be three teams from the AFC West getting in. It's not unrealistic.
It's totally realistic. But I think that there's going to be something that happens to a lot of these teams. Let me ask you about the odds of Baltimore and Cincinnati making it. Very, very possible.
I think both will.
How about Buffalo and your New England Patriots?
I do not think my Patriots will make the playoffs this year.
What about the fact that nobody ever talks about the AFC South, but the Colts and the Titans are pretty much guaranteed to go 10-7 every year, and they're always there in the final week of the season to be either champion of their division or wild card? It's happened every year. Every year since I've been covering the NFL, those two teams have been there. Why will they not be there this year?
My three least favorite teams ever are the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Washington Capitals, and then the Indianapolis Colts. Those are the three teams I despise the most in sports.
Two of them seem personal. Where do the Indianapolis Colts come in?
Patriots.
Oh, Patriots, okay.
Yeah. So, and they cry about everything, and they try to tell you they're great every year, and they're not. But regardless, I don't usually give compliments to the Colts. I did not pick the Colts last year to win the division. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs last year. The Colts should win this division this year because Tennessee, even though their defense was good last year, I love Mike Vrabel as a coach. They just got rid of A.J. Brown. I know they bring in Robert Woods. They draft Treylon Burks. You just took away Ryan Tannehill's best weapon for a quarterback we don't believe in. I could see Tennessee this year missing the postseason.
Was A.J. Brown that big a factor last year in their playoff run?
A.J. Brown's a great wide receiver in this league.
He's been in and out of that lineup. No, come on. It's Derrick Henry. And the thing is, we always discount the Tennessee Titans.
No, Derrick Henry got hurt last year after October 31st.
Has anyone ever came into the season saying the Tennessee Titans are the glamour team that are coming out of the AFC?
No, we
always discount them, and they always play tough football, run, and you know whoever comes in for Derrick Henry plays tough too.
But they're a very good team. They're never going to be a team with right. Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback that's going to win a Super Bowl. This could be a year that it hurts them, and they could still win the division. I'm not saying it's crazy.
It's also
I would just
function
go Indy.
They get a lot of easy wins off that Houston-Jacksonville thing.
Sure. There's no easy wins in the AFC West.
So Tennessee and Indy sometimes end up having about 10 wins as a function of their schedule. I think something like that could happen. Also, the NFL is just so unpredictable. The fact that everybody's predicting these AFC West teams to be so elite, I have to go against the grain and say this never works out like that.
You will guarantee that at least two AFC West teams will get in.
Yes.
So I don't think anyone right now is saying all four. So you're just more on the side to understand your argument of two AFC West teams compared to three AFC West teams.
I just don't buy this. Okay, if that does happen, I don't buy this argument that the AFC West is going to be the greatest division in the history of football. And honestly, I don't think we actually debated that kind of thing until recently. I don't even know. You know what that is?
That turns into like, give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. Who's the greatest division in football that you've ever seen? Like,
by the way,
who actually says that?
I will. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Is this the greatest division? I believe in divisional strength of schedule. I had a theory on Peyton Manning and your Colts, your despised Colts.
Watch your mouth. Those are fighting words.
No.
Don't say Colts.
No, the reason you didn't like them. I thought they were 14-2 every year because they were playing a bunch of expansion teams in their division. Then they would get to the playoffs and lose.
Everyone's one and done.
Like, everyone's saying they're so disappointing. I'm like, they just beat up a team that's only been in the NFL for 3 years. I thought they were always feasting off their division. Then the division around Tom Brady started to crumble. The reason was you couldn't beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills started churning through coaches and churning through GMs. And churning through quarterbacks. There was a new quarterback on every team every year. The Patriots started to really take advantage of that and get home field. I thought that helped the Patriots be in a weak division. And don't tell me I'm wrong.
Wait, but what about all the other teams that they played and dominated against for all those years? It's just a division.
Well, okay, let's take the Chargers.
I'm not saying it helps in getting home field advantage, but they also have won not having home field advantage. Did they not go to Kansas City a few years ago and beat the great Patrick Mahomes?
A young Patrick Mahomes.
But did they win or not? See, this is what I can't stand.
Oh, here we
just
go.
Just admit it.
Here
that Brady, Belichick, they're great. Unless if you're the Giants And I know that the Eagles, they did win that Super Bowl. Most of your teams, they sucked against them. So stop telling me, oh, it was the Dolphins. Oh, it was the Bills. Oh, it was the Jets.
The Jets.
What about all the other great teams that they beat? All the other great teams.
They had home field. How about all the teams they lost to? Basically, what
you know what you're sounding like right now? You're sounding like Bart Scott. And it's Bart Scott hates Tom Brady. You hate Tom Brady. That's what it is.
You know what? Who would have beaten them?
But if Brady sends you some mugs, you love the guy.
You know...
Now if he sends you some of those new boxers, underwear. He loves
them. I need that underwear, although I'm not going to pose shirtless. Remember that Chargers team that lost to them in Foxborough?
Oh.
That's super talented.
Yeah. I was at that game. Divisional round.
Phillip Rivers. It was Rivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They might have won that game in San Diego. I think.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Did they not go to San Diego?
Well, right.
Back in 2006 and beat the Chargers when the Chargers had a great team.
I know. But that was not as great.
Brady threw a pick and then Troy Brown popped out the football.
That was not quite as great a Patriots team. The one I think they might have won the
Super
Bowl.
In 06?
No. The one that beat the Chargers in 18. Was it 18
or
19?
They ended up winning the Super Bowl up against the Rams that year.
Right. That's an asterisk Super Bowl. They beat the Rams. What was it, 13-3?
What?
That barely counts. That was the weakest.
You know what, Perloff? I thought you were better than this.
No, I'm not really better. You think that I'm?
I thought you were better than this.
Do you know how about every day, 5 days a week, I sit next to Maggie Gray, who has the hottest team in the National League, the New York Mets. I instinctively root against whoever my co-host likes.
That's fine.
And to have a New England Patriots fan here who's had all the success, by the way, a young New England Patriots fan who's never seen the down years.
No, it's
obnoxious.
What are you talking about?
It's
never
obnoxious.
Seen the down years. I saw 7 wins with Cam.
Oh.
See, I know how to just kind of poke the bear here. You know, I will say this.
Cam pre-injury with the Pats wasn't quite as bad. I thought there was a moment there.
Oh, before he got COVID?
Before he got COVID.
Yeah, he had one good game against Seattle. Then he can't throw the football, and he turned over the football up against the Broncos, the Bills.
Yeah, he kind of looked weird in that uniform. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I love Maggie. You need to work on one thing, though, with Maggie.
What's that?
You got to kind of uplift her spirit. See,
yeah,
she needs to know what it's like to be in the winner's circle. And with her football team, she's just so programmed to heartbreak and disaster. You got to find a way to get her in a positive line of thinking. And you could take this advice from me. Remember, I did postgame in Philadelphia when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I bestowed this wisdom upon Eagles fans. If you believe and you actually think it's going to be your year, maybe it actually turns out to be your year 1 year. And Buffalo should win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, you're so naive. You're so naive by your years of Patriots fandom. It works the exact opposite. The more negative you are about your team, the more likely they are to win. That's sports karma. If Maggie came in here and said, my Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Has it worked her entire life? She's been negative her entire life about the Buffalo Bills.
No. She started out, I actually have pictures of her as a young sports fan. Bushy-tailed, bright-eyed, Jim Kelly jersey, ready to go.
Wing sauce all
over
her face.
And I'm sure she's watching and listening right now. Year by year, just the smile gets a little, then it's sort of, and now it's just that faraway gaze of a Super Bowl loser.
She's a tortured soul from that football
team. She's a tortured soul.
But right now, she's so close to living in the penthouse. Yeah. Like, for so many years, the Bills were in the outhouse. You now have one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Josh Allen. You have a sensational general manager in Brandon Bean. You have a very good coach in Sean McDermott. You have a phenomenal offensive line. This should be your year. Believe it. Say it. Guarantee it, Maggie. Lock it up.
Maggie, if she was sitting right where I am, right, she would punch you. She would literally punch you. I think you have the whole approach wrong. What do you guys think of the other side of the glass? You don't talk big about your team. Don't you downplay expectations and hope they win? Stu, you have some teams who disappoint. What do you usually do?
I'm a Raiders fan, so I always just aim for, you know, 5 or 6 wins, and if they do better than that, I'm happy. And if they do worse than that, then that's what I expected.
Stu
tortured soul. See, it's a tortured soul.
Stu, now
we're going to go to the Jet fan here, and actually, he's a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah. Sampter, what's your strategy?
Well, no, so I mean, I also grew up with the Yankees. And so when the Yankees are always winning, I mean, especially from the mid-90s and early 2000s, there's a cockiness that comes with it. And like when you're a Patriots fan and you're just used to winning, especially when you have a guy like Brady who just wins, you don't have that doom and gloom. You don't have that belief that, like, okay, we're up by 3 with 1:42 to go. We're going to lose this game. You're like, all right, game's in the bag. We got it. We won. We're on. And, like, I think that's part of the issue. And I know what it's like. As a Jets fan, I've seen that, like, this always believing the negative. So I've seen both sides of it. So I know where you're coming from, Perloff, but you have to be able to, like, I don't know. You have to be able to see the winning side of it to really truly believe it.
I just want to get back to one more thing that you said, just to kind of get back to what we were originally talking about real quickly. Because you discussed all these sexy moves that the AFC West teams are, and you're not that optimistic like others about the AFC West. You brought up a really good point. We highlight all those sexy moves, Davante Adams, Russell Wilson, Tyreek Hill, all the big names. You want to know what the best offseason move was this offseason?
Oh, I can't wait.
And I'll say it was the sexiest move of the offseason.
Oh, you're going to go some O-lineman, aren't you?
Yeah, the Bengals.
I knew you were going to say
this. Lyle Collins. I know Cap is hurt right now. And then also Ted Karras. That team almost won a Super Bowl with garbage protecting Joe Burrow. Now they have three really good linemen. They have a right side of the offensive line. I think that's the sexiest move of this offseason.
I love that take, and I agree. I'm big into the Bengals.
Oh, wow.
I've been telling Maggie about that O-line, and I think Ali Marpet retiring in Tampa Bay. I know they got Shaq Mason. I think that's kind of a big deal. He was balling out.
I'm surprised someone that isn't a man's man, and Andrew Perloff, I got my read wrong, is a connoisseur of the fat guys up front.
Well, I'm an NFC East fan. I've watched the Cowboys line just rail people for years, and the Eagles line is great too. But I'm going to give you a quick gift here, Zach, because you've been stuck with an Eagles fan, a Jets fan, and a Raiders fan. My good friend, the aforementioned Sully.
Oh, I love Sully.
Sully wants to talk to you and talk some Patriots stuff. I'll hang up. Sully, Zach.
Sully, my man, what's going on? I see him at LA. I see him in Vegas. I'm surprised Sully's not here today, because everywhere you go, there's Sully.
Yeah. Yeah, this is killing me. Sully, how you doing, bud?
McLovin, Michael, Stu, don't call me Solomon. Zach, this is amazing that I get to sit here and just let you go head-to-head without getting interrupted, without getting hung up on, and just beat down McLovin consistently. Zach, it's so good to see you in the big chair. I'm surprised I'm not next to you. Also, I'm back in Hermosa Beach enjoying the weather. Zach, please educate McLovin. And I know you're young, so Mike talked about it of you know, knowing the feeling of losses. I'm 48. I remember the Scott Zolak. I remember the Scott Sequels. I remember the Nate Millen, like, quarterback years. So to see and understand that you never had to experience that is such a beautiful thing that you don't understand the losses.
But I understand the history, Sully, because my uncle, every time the Raiders whole situation gets brought up with Tuck Rule, would talk about when the Raiders got screwed over, or the Patriots got screwed over by the Raiders with Sugar Bear Ray Hamilton.
Sugar Ray Hamilton.
See?
Sugar Ray Hamilton.
I know the history of the team here.
You know, Sully, you and Zach have a lot more in common than just the Patriots. You are a Celtics fan, were at Game 6, and he's a Rangers fan. So you guys both know about having recent terrible postseason disappointments. How does that feel, guys?
At least our team was in the dance.
You
have to be in the dance to have a chance to go home with the prom queen. You never get invited to the dance, Perloff.
I was going to say, Zach, besides being extremely handsome, we understood the loss. I get it, right? But McLovin, all he can do is just take shots. Because, and I can't take shots at the Flyers. I have a very tight core group of guys over there. But I can't stand the Eagles. I feel somewhat bad for McLovin because his best player took a fastball off the thumb. He's out for 6 weeks.
That's not nice.
I like the Sixers. That's another topic. But the fact that we just get to, I just want you to constantly go at him, Zach, and just give him grief just because McLovin doesn't know the feeling of at the end of the season getting the opportunity to buy the championship gear, getting the opportunity to rub it in on all your friends, getting the opportunity to be like, oh, yeah, you guys always cheat, whatever. Everything that you guys
It's jealousy, Sully.
About,
who cares what those guys say? Just show them the amount of rings we have on our fingers that we all won, right?
Oh, it's the best. I always say, you know, I need a break because going to Super Bowls is very expensive, and it got to be very, very, very expensive the last couple of
years. It's funny, though. You could drop Sully now, by the way, please. Did the Eagles and Patriots play in the Super Bowl once? It was a long time.
2004,
ago.
Right? McNabb puked? No, I'm just playing. I like Donovan.
Yeah. All right, we have to break, Sully. Thanks for the
quickly,
call.
Real quickly, though, Sully could be a little fraudulent.
No,
and
he's
I love
not.
Sully. You know why he's a little fraudulent?
Why?
He plays it off like we're such great friends when you guys are going out in Las Vegas eating all these fine restaurants.
Don't be jealous. Samter knows.
Poor little old me didn't get an invite.
You're still on the air.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
There's a time difference in Vegas. You guys were out late. All please. Right.
Coming up next, it's never, never, never too early for some mock draft NFL talk in June. Love it. That's coming up next right here on Maggie and Perloff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. You know, it's funny, Zach, I've told many people there's nothing I will click on before a mock draft. Mock draft doesn't matter what time of year. It doesn't matter what year the mock draft is for. 2026 mock draft, click. I find them incredibly captivating. And that, of course, is one of the reasons I enjoy the company of CBS Sports' Chris Trapasso, who's their NFL draft analyst and a great guy. And by the way, a longtime Buffalo fan, which we'll get into in a minute. Chris, how you doing? We got a lot of draft quarterback and college football quarterback questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm definitely ready, and I'll just say off the top, it looks like right now that next year's class is going to be a lot better than only having one first-rounder in this past April's draft.
Well, I actually think that it's also a supply and demand thing. I think the NFL is going to be tired of not drafting quarterbacks in the first round, and they're going to make them to first-rounders, even if they're not first-rounders. But Zach Gelb, who's co-hosting today, we had an interesting discussion yesterday. He mentioned that in your mock draft from the spring, you had Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback, number one over Bryce Young of Alabama and C.J. Stroud. I totally get it, but we've seen a lot of mock drafts coming up that go Young, Stroud as sort of 1-2. So explain why you went with Levis, the Kentucky quarterback.
It's all about traits, and I think we can sometimes overhype some of these quarterbacks as they enter their final college season. Guys like maybe Tua Tagovailoa, maybe Matt Barkley in the past, Geno Smith. Those quarterbacks didn't have the high caliber traits. When I watched Will Levis last season, even though his numbers weren't as gaudy as C.J. Stroud's or Bryce Young, I saw big time throw after big time throw through tight windows in the SEC against Georgia, against Florida, against quality defenses that had a lot of future NFL players on it. And he's got the size and the athleticism, the running ability that every team wants at the quarterback position today. So it was a little bit of a projection for sure, but I think stacking up these quarterbacks, not by their statistics, but by their physical and athletic and arm talent traits, Will Levis is right there with the kind of consensus top quarterbacks in Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud.
Who do you like better between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young there, Chris Trapasso?
In my scouting grade book in the summer, I have Bryce Young slightly ahead of C.J. Stroud, and I can dwindle it down to this. Bryce Young gives you more improvisational ability, but C.J. Stroud is the better, more classic, traditional pocket passer at this point. So if you want a quarterback that can move around, make plays off structure, maybe a little bit in the designed running game, that's Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud reads or gets through his reads quicker, has a stronger arm, and is more of that prototypical size at the quarterback position.
So I was around Bryce Young Memorial Day this year at Steve Clarkson's camp, and I've been around him before. Right. The size is daunting. You just can't help but notice this is not what a normal quarterback looks like. Kyler Murray's short, but he's very, very thick. Bryce Young is not thick at all. Then I actually was around him, Chris, and then I had to go on my phone and look at highlights. I'm like, is that the same guy at Alabama? And he's unbelievable on the field. That size is even different than some of the shorter guys that we've talked about in the NFL. Would you agree about that?
Absolutely. That's my biggest knock on him, that despite how athletic he is and how natural of a playmaker he was in his first season as a starter last year at Alabama, to use Kyler Murray, to use Russell Wilson, even Baker Mayfield, some of the probably the three most marquee top-tier quarterback prospects that have entered the NFL, they all were built more like a running back. Bryce Young is almost built like a slot receiver more so than a running back. And I think at this point, some teams will be a little bit concerned about his durability and being able to stay on the field because the creativity is such a big part of his game. And he took some shots last season in the SEC. Teams will want to see that in this fall, but they want to make sure that he's not taking a bunch of hits because you cannot sustain that once you get to the NFL at Bryce Young's size, which is one of the smaller quarterback prospects that's a top-tier guy that we've seen in a long time.
Chris Trapasso here with us. I was just skimming through this mock draft that you put out a few months ago for 2023, and hey, things could change, and obviously there's reasons for why you put certain people in certain spots. Will Anderson out of Alabama behind Jalen Carter, what is it for you that makes Jalen Carter, I guess, better than Will Anderson?
I think it's not that he's better. It's more of a supply and demand for the position. Like, we had a really bad defensive tackle class here in 2022. So I think kind of what we were talking about earlier with the supply and demand at the quarterback position that Andrew mentioned, I think teams are going to want more of those interior pass rushers that are very hard to come by. Certainly, Will Anderson on the edge is a pretty unique specimen. He reminds me almost exactly of Khalil Mack when he was coming into the NFL. But with Jalen Carter, you get awesome run defense across multiple gaps. The athleticism is there, and he's an outstanding pass rusher. I watched all those Georgia games last year, and he looked like number 88, Jalen Carter, the most explosive and disruptive player on that defense that basically had the whole unit drafted.
We're talking to CBS Sports, Chris Trapasso, NFL draft expert. Okay, can I play a quick game with you? I'm going to name, maybe not Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, a quarterback that might be mocked to the first round in some places, might not be, and you're going to give me a way or no way this person is a first rounder. These are quarterbacks, okay? Anthony Richardson, Florida.
Absolutely.
Okay. KJ Jefferson, Arkansas.
He could sneak into the back part. He could sneak, be one of the last picks in the first round.
Cam Rising, Utah?
Probably not. Day two, early day three.
Devin Leary, NC State.
He could sneak into the first round. A lot of big time throws on his film.
By the way, South Jersey guy. He grew up an Eagles fan. Want to give him that. Jaren Hall, BYU, who seems to be the hot guy this spring.
He feels like a day two guy to me, but crazier things have happened.
Okay. Let's see. I'll end up a Hendon Hooker, Tennessee.
Probably not, because I think he's like 25 years old already.
That's not good for the NFL. I'm looking at some other lists. It just feels to me, it's interesting. There's a bigger mid-level of quarterbacks this year, guys who could be second or third round, where there was really a first-rounder this year, then a drop-off. So could there be a number of teams, even teams with quarterbacks now, that could draft quarterbacks in the first three rounds next year?
Yeah, I think so. And kind of what I said at the beginning here, that this class looks stronger, not just because of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and Will Levis, but like what you just mentioned, Andrew, that mid-tier that we really didn't have. Even at this time last year, we were talking about Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell. After that, we were kind of like, who are going to be the second and third rounders? There was some chatter for Malik Willis, who ultimately goes in the third round, Desmond Ridder as well. But you just mentioned a bunch that I think could either sneak into the first or be right there, second or third round. Tyler Van Dyke from Miami is one. Yeah, Will Rogers from Mississippi State. So there are certainly more names that have already established themselves and look like future NFL quarterbacks by what they've done over the past couple of seasons in this upcoming class than there were at this time last year for the 2022 class.
What about Spencer Rattler? Any chance he makes it big at South Carolina? We've seen transfers who've rejuvenated their career, obviously Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. Any chance that the former number one overall recruit becomes a legit first-round prospect?
Yeah, I think so, just because of what you just said, that the talent is there. And what he did as a redshirt freshman at Oklahoma, you know, built all that hype for him to be the first overall pick this past April. That obviously didn't materialize, but the arm talent, the improvisation ability, the assertiveness as a passer, he's not going to check it down very often. He certainly could. I don't know if I love him playing in the SEC on a South Carolina team that does have some weapons back, but is not really in a situation like what he had at Oklahoma with a ton of future first and second round picks around him.
Chris Trapasso here with us. Hey, Chris, what about Quinn Ewers for this season? Like, what do you think is going to happen with him? Because everyone's looking at him, and I know it's down the road in terms of the NFL, but they're wondering about that future QB battle a year from now between Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, it definitely complicates things. I think Quinn Ewers transfers to Texas, thinks he's going to be the savior for two seasons, and now it's almost like people have forgotten that he was the number one recruit just a few recruiting classes ago. But everything that I've seen of him, I don't dive super deep into the high school film, but everything that I've seen, he has an absolute cannon of an arm. And I think a big reason why he and both Arch Manning decided to go to Texas was to play for Steve Sarkisian, who's been in the NFL, did so much good stuff with Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama. I think just that tutelage to have your head coach someone that was in the NFL and at Alabama, super productive, that's why he ultimately went there. So I think he should have a strong season. I'm not going to say Texas is back, but they have the
all right, Sam Ellinger,
and arm talent. Yeah.
Well, last one for Chris Trapasso right here for me. I got to get your read on this. The Buffalo Bills. I know you're a huge Bar Bill fan. We talk about the wings all the time. You're right in Buffalo country. Yes. Are you a believer that this is finally going to be the year that the Buffalo Bills hoist the Lombardi Trophy?
It's got to be. I mean, I needed to add some Bills flavor to the show with Maggie off, and I can certainly do that. It's got to be. They've retained their entire roster for the second straight season, essentially. They fortified the offensive line late in the year. The draft to add James Cook, I think, was really important. Certainly Kyer Elam. They needed a number two cornerback that had some high-level athleticism opposite Tre'Davious White. So I think they had a good draft. They added some key pieces up front. You have 26-year-old Josh Allen. And to have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer getting up there in age, that awesome safety tandem, this has to be the year for the Bills to do, and I think they will.
Great. Those guys aren't old yet, but Chris, Zach was telling me that you should be like a Patriots fan, and Maggie should be like a Patriots fan, and just believe you're going to win and say you're going to win, because Maggie will never say the Bills are going to win. She's a big jinx, doesn't want to jinx. Sounds like you have a little more confidence, but what's a better approach, to underplay expectations or to overplay them?
That's, growing up in Buffalo, that's a really tough question, because there was, I don't know if you guys know, an 18-year playoff drought where for about 10 of those years, everyone kind of felt that they could maybe be 9-7 and sneak into the playoffs, and it never happened. But I think truly, and this is what it really boils down to, Josh Allen is the Bills quarterback, and I think when you have him, you can be as confident as you need to be. That's kind of my final qualifier for any of these teams, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Broncos. If you have a good quarterback and an elite quarterback, then I think it's totally justifiable to be very confident in your team's chances.
Here's the bottom line. For years, you guys were in the outhouse. You've been in the penthouse now for the last few seasons. You got comfortable with all the amenities that come in the penthouse. Now you start becoming the cocky guy in the penthouse, and you expect to win, and you say the Bills are going to win. That's what it needs to be. Yeah. And that's what we need from Maggie when she gets back here. And I'll be coasting with her next week on Thursday. I'll say that to her.
No.
And then probably get punched in the face.
Western New Yorkers are not like that, Chris. Am I correct?
Some are. But I got to ask you, Andrew, how did you feel with the Eagles in 2017? I guess going into that season, you maybe didn't realize that they were going to win the Super Bowl. But once Carson Wentz started to get going, you had to have felt pretty confident that season.
Oh, I mean, of course, because Carson Wentz injured his knee, and I cursed the fates, just like I did when Bryce Harper broke his thumb the other day, and I wrote off the entire season because I'm an Eagles fan, and I, like you, am an expert at losing, and I had no idea they were going to go that far until I walked into that stadium in Minnesota and saw no Malcolm Butler on the field, and then I called my dad and said, we're going to win this game. But I don't want to relive that. Zach's a Patriots fan. They're really sensitive, Chris. We really shouldn't do that. So I think we're going to have to leave on that
All
note.
Right, Todd Pinkston.
On that note. Chris, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you later this summer, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, we're running a little bit late. Next, we're going to discuss the hottest thing in sports, at least what one player says is the hottest thing in sports. But right now, here's an update with Rich Ackerman. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question from Bill in Lansdale. What do you think of James Harden opting out of his contract with the 76ers? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. So the news, James Harden declines option with the Philadelphia 76ers. The dude turned down $47.3 million. But of course, this means he will be signing a longer-term deal, get some security, lowers his cap number. The Sixers can now get in on the $10.5 million contract exception, which will probably mean P.J. Tucker, or maybe I would like Gary Payton II. None of this is a surprise. Zach, you know I'm a Sixers fan. I've sort of become accustomed to the idea that James Harden is going to be on this team for the next 3 years. I don't like it.
It's not a bad decision by an overrated general manager in Daryl Morey. That's what it is.
You think it's a bad decision?
In terms of the initial move to go get him.
Right, but now he's made his bed, so he's got to do this, right?
Yes, and what this is the bromance between Daryl Morey and James Harden just continues.
Yeah.
If Daryl Morey had some cojones, James Harden opts out, okay, even though it doesn't make me look good. Wipe the hands clean. Goodbye. You go actually find the legit number two. The Sixers are now in this never-endless cycle. You have a great player in Joel Embiid. I love Tyrese Maxey. I think he's the second-best player. But it's going to still take a few years before you really see how great he is. You don't have a finisher once again in Philadelphia for Joel Embiid to go win a championship. It's a problem.
It's definitely a problem, but it's one bad decision after another.
Will this guy get in shape? This is my question. Will James Harden get in shape?
Do you remember during the pandemic when James Harden put out Instagram videos of all this work he was doing and he looked kind of svelte? Mm-hmm. Then he showed up at the hotel in Orlando. And what happened to that dude on Instagram 2 weeks ago? He was not there. There was a lot more James Harden to love.
I will say the James Harden lifestyle, though, it's not a bad lifestyle. That guy goes out and he has a good time. If Stu and I were going out, maybe this is back in the single Stu days, we would be going and hanging out with James Harden. There's no doubt about that.
I could last one half of one night with James Harden.
Not even.
Not even.
10 seconds in the club. Then Perloff gets bounced.
Another big trade in the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks acquired DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs for 3 first-round picks and Danilo Gallinari. I don't totally get it. I love DeJounte Murray. I love the Spurs guard. I thought he's so good. And like, he's exactly what you need in today's NBA. The long arms, the offensive skill, the shot. I don't quite understand his fit with Trae Young.
Oh, what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Right? They're trying to make Golden State light. I'm not saying that they're going to become that, but they're trying to make this a great backcourt. That's what they're doing.
But the great backcourt in Golden State was Curry and catch and shoot Klay Thompson.
Totally get it.
Whereas DeJounte Murray's game is just a little bit different. He has the ball in his hand a lot more. He's a lot more versatile. Look at his numbers last year. 21.1 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, 9.2 assists. Like I said, length. Love this guy. I think I secretly want him on the Sixers. Or at least, you know, he would have been great on a team that really needs a great wing. Like Miami, maybe, or the Lakers. A team like that should have moved heaven and earth to get DeJounte
Murray.
But then
here's the problem. With the Hawks, you got to be selective on who you could get.
Yeah.
What else were they going to do? Like, they're in a spot where you have a really good young player in Trae Young. Yeah, you probably wish that you would have kept Luka Doncic. Yeah. I get that, but that's a different conversation. So what else are you going to do?
No, I like it from the Hawks standpoint. I like it.
You're curious about the fit.
Honestly, I'm curious about, no, it was really, I wanted him to go to another contender to add somebody else to the championship mix. And I don't think the Hawks are there.
Yeah, I don't think the Hawks will be a championship team.
I think he could have been the piece that put somebody over the top. And because I like when there's more contenders for the ring.
That's fair.
Don't you think Murray could have been on one of these teams, one of the maybe top 5 teams in either conference and made them a champion? Imagine him.
I think it wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's obvious. All right, let's switch back to the NFL. So Brian in Omaha is a Chiefs fan, and it's got to be a nerve-wracking time for Chiefs fans. They had the division themselves, and now they're sharing it. Brian, what do you got, buddy?
I fear the Raiders. I'm an
the Raiders
Dolphin fan at tops that love Kansas City, and I don't think Dolphins are going to do well. And I worry about the Raiders. I think they've got a lot of talent,
more than the Chargers.
Well, maybe a little bit, pretty even. And I wish Miami would have got that quarterback at San Diego.
And Justin Herbert. Isn't that crazy? And thanks for the phone call there, Brian. That's wild. You go back to that draft class. Everyone said for years, Tua.
Tanking for Tua.
The Dolphins were tanking for Tua. They were actually better than what people thought. They end up getting Tua. They fall back. Joe Burrow emerged. No one saw that coming. Not even his own family saw that he was going to be eventually a number one overall pick. But Justin Herbert, it's one of the more bizarre college careers ever. Because at one time he was touted as the guy. Then he won a Rose Bowl that year.
Yeah.
And he still fell to the sixth pick and the third quarterback in that draft when he came back because of how much he grew up loving the Oregon program and wanted one more year.
Well, he had a high completion percentage at Oregon, but it was all bubble screens. It was an odd offense. And then he would have these throws. I think his arm, he grew into that arm. There was a play at the end of the game where he was supposed to throw a Hail Mary into the back of the end zone. It must have landed in the eighth row because, you know, Justin Herbert's arm, once it gets going, I think he was legitimately raw at Oregon. I think that was true, but we should have seen that. It is unbelievable.
It shows you how much we don't know.
We have no idea. And it also depends what system they go to. There's no doubt about that. Tua, I'll say there's two Tuas. There's pre-hip injury Tua, and there's post-hip injury Tua. Are we going to see Tua? What? Remember when Tua first got there?
He was unbelievable.
He could throw the ball downfield. He was hitting those guys.
He was the 30 yards downfield all the time.
I mean, he's small, but I agree. I think the hip injury, you know, he throws the ball with so much torque. He really has to put his whole body into a 20-yard pass that goes 18 yards of the air. Maybe he's going to get back to that young Tua that we saw before.
Now, I'm a big Brian Flores fan, but now you have a coach that finally embraces him, finally wants him there. They improve that offensive line. You bring in Tyreek Hill. You have Waddle. You have Gesicki. It's time for Tua to show that he could still be the old Tua, and we'll get that answer this year. But going off what the caller said, let's just, for right now, just for argument's sake, say Kansas City can't win the division this year.
Okay.
I think obviously they can, but let's just for this conversation say they can't. Who do you go with out of the other three AFC West teams right now to win the division?
Chargers.
I do as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're loaded.
Now, who would be the team after that? Would it be Broncos or the Raiders? Because I'm starting to get the feeling. I would not have said this a month ago. I would have said it was the Raiders fourth. I kind of think the Raiders are slightly better than the Denver Broncos. The only thing that holds me back is the Broncos have Russell Wilson and the Raiders have Carr.
So the Broncos are pretty good, though.
They are. They're very good. I don't know what Nathaniel Hackett's going to be, though.
I kind of, you know, he's quirky, he's weird, he's funny. I like Mike McDaniel, Miami, too. The Broncos' weapons are legit, though. Mm-hmm. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. These guys with the right quarterback could be something. I like.
But aren't the Raiders' weapons better?
The Raiders' weapons are better, but the quarterback.
Renfro Adams.
I give Russell Wilson a slight edge over Derek Carr.
Fair.
You know, as Chris Tarpasso said earlier, it's the quarterback. It's quarterback. I don't want to make the decision right now. I told you pre-show, I don't want to put in ink my AFC West predictions. It's just such a hard thing. Have you decided your order? Like you said, you changed a month ago.
Yeah, I'm between the Chargers and the Chiefs to win that division. And I haven't fully said the Chargers yet, but I'm very close to saying so.
Zach, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see you tomorrow. I won't be here, but...
Well, you're going to be filling in a couple times over the next couple weeks. Don't embarrass us. Don't talk about how great the Patriots are. You don't want to turn people off.
I didn't even want to talk about the Patriots today. It's you that's begging me to talk about the Patriots.
Oh, I had to
hear. You guys can't help yourself.
I had to hear about Andre Tippett's induction in the Jewish Hall of Fame, and you didn't want to talk about the Patriots. Anyway, great job, Zach. It's great to see you. I will be back tomorrow right here on Maggie and Perloff, NBA free agency. Alex Caruso, join us. Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.